Please open your Bibles to John chapter 1 in the Red Pew Bible, page 1109. God has been desiring for a long time to speak a word to us. Let's read about it together. Please stand. Together, let's consider God's unspoken, eternal word here revealed. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it or not overcome it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John, John the Baptist. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives or offers light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize or acknowledge him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. And we have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word of the Lord. Please be seated. The other day, I was in the supermarket picking up a few items and looking at something to drink. I noticed some big something to my right. It was just there. And then it moved a little. I turned and it was like this huge man, this giant of a man. And I'm like, you know, it's the kind of size man that you want to have on your side when you're getting an argument, when you need some help. And so I'm there trying not to notice him, and I'm fiddling around with some stuff and really trying to look at him, but I didn't want to be rude. And then finally he walked away and he ran into some other people and must have known them. He started speaking, and I went, whew. Did those words, did that come out of his mouth? It was like, when he spoke, it was like a little child. His words were soft and tender. It caught me by surprise. I think of that image and hold it before you as we consider this passage. Because here we have something huge. We have this unseen, eternal God. And here he's described as the Word. I like to think of it as the unspoken Word, the eternal Word, this Word that God, the enormous God of the universe, has been wanting to speak to us. And so he speaks in this soft, tender voice, speaking to us in a lowly child. The Scripture tells us here, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word actually was God, and And then in the 14th verse, and then God speaks, and the Word becomes flesh and lives among us. Think for a minute how God could have spoken to us that first Christmas. He could have raised up another prophet. Here you go. I want to tell you something. Listen to Isaiah or Jeremiah the second. Or he could have made a verbal announcement, opened up the skies and spoke directly. He could have given us something with pen and ink, like we hear every Sunday. But on this occasion, this eternal God, this enormous Creator, this person who you would like to have on your side, He speaks softly, tenderly, in the flesh of a little baby. Somebody asked and was a bit puzzled, why is Christ called the Word here? In the beginning was the Word. And they were puzzled. Why does He speak this way to us? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And as I thought about that, I wasn't thinking about Revelation, where Christ is actually called. He says, and His name is the Word of God. I was a bit puzzled myself, and I began to think, well, maybe it's something, the reason is something like this, that here, this eternal God is called the Word because God has a message for us. That even before the world began, in the beginning, that God was wanting to say something to us. That this is an unspoken message that God has for us. And so it's appropriate for Him to be labeled here the Word. Because God is wanting to speak, and He will speak in this Word. And again, what is surprising is that when He speaks, He speaks in human flesh. And in this flesh of Mary's child, He speaks bringing you light. In Isaiah chapter 9, it says that the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. I trust that this season, as you think about what's God bringing us here in Mary's child, that it's a light to you. John speaks about it often here in this opening part of his book. He says in the 9th verse, the light of mankind was coming into the world. Or, if you will, in verse 14, full of truth. He comes full of truth. And John, the baptizer, he is bearing witness to the light. He's not the light, he says, but he's bearing witness to the light. I mean, we sing about it, his coming as light. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. Hail the Son, S-U-N, the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all He brings. He brings light to all of you who want to see the season. As we're living in the dark, and as we're puzzled, and as we're trying to muddle our way through life, God speaks to us in this child to bring us light. And as you and I think about what does light do? How does it function? Well, it's a double-edged sword. It can guide you and it can expose you. Here are the words of Frederick Buchner. He was a U.S. writer and preacher. He says, if there is fear or terror, and I'm quoting, if there is fear and terror about darkness because we cannot see, there is also fear and terror about light because we can see. There is a terror about light because much of what we see in the light about ourselves and our world, we would rather not see. And we would rather not have to be seen. That's really what we see here in the 10th verse. It says, He was in the world, and though that the world was made through Him, the world did not acknowledge Him. To put it another way, why might people want to make Christmas not a holy day, but a holiday? Why might some want to extract Christ out of Christmas? And, as it were, just almost make Him disappear or minimize Him just to, you know, it's just festivities. It's ceremonies. Why might someone want to do that? In the 11th verse, it says, He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. It's very interesting in the context because He came to His own, He's talking His own creation. We saw in the opening verses that everything that's made was made by this eternal unspoken word. When He spoke in the beginning, the world was created. And now He speaks again. He speaks in human flesh, in Mary's child. He grows up and He begins to minister among the people, and we find Him being rejected. Like a rose, you know the words, trampled on the ground. A rose trampled on the ground. By the way, if many of you feel trampled and a bit downtrodden and beaten by others, hey, He can identify with you, this little child. He knows because He Himself has gone through the trampling, even to the point of being nailed to a cross. And why would some be afraid to come to the light? Well, why would some want to remove Christ from Christmas? Well, it's pretty simple. That if you have something to hide from God, you would do well to do something about it. I mean, some people haven't realized that Christ is not here just to expose us. He's here to bring us grace. Some haven't become awake to the incarnation. He comes as light, and the light can expose you. Yeah, He sees that you're unacceptable. But you know what? The light can also guide you to a safer place, to where you don't need to be embarrassed anymore, because the light can guide us into grace. The enfleshed Word brings light to expose us, but light to guide us into His grace. And notice what it says here at the end of this text. Verse 14, He came not just with truth, which would show that we are indeed wrong before God in many ways, but light that would bring us to the point where we can see His grace. He came full of grace. That's the great part about it. That's what we heard early in the testimony here. There's much grace. He's filled with grace in Mary's child. And that's the word He wants to speak to you this season. The question is, do you have the confidence that God has enough grace for you? Do you believe He's going to be gracious in this Christ child and is treating you in a gracious way? If you don't know what grace means, probably most of you do. The typical definition is what? Two words. We say unmerited favor, right? Unmerited favor. Which isn't bad. It gets a little bit close. But really, it's more than that. It's really about undeserved favor. Undeserved favor. It's not just the idea that, hey, I'm going to give you favor that you can't earn. But I'm going to give you favor that you don't deserve. You see, when you're exposed, you sense, oh man, I am unworthy when you're exposed. But God wants to say more than that in this child. He wants to say, hey, you know, let that light not just expose you, but guide you to my undeserved favor. And that's what we have in Mary's son. A present that brings you grace, favor from God that you are unworthy of and never will be worthy of it. You know, it's the woman at the well. She understood, beginning to understand. She had five husbands, and the man she was living with wasn't her own. Jesus knew it, but he was full of grace and ready to receive her. You know, Matthew was a tax collector. You know, he was like Zacchaeus and the other tax collectors, you can expect. What did they do? How did they earn their living? Well, they were in a position of power. And how did they use their power? Basically, to milk the people for their money. You know, they collected the taxes. And they would raise it up a little higher. You know, you don't want the heat on you. You don't want the government. Then give me some money under the table. Or just plain raise the rate. And that's why Zacchaeus felt bad about it later. And he says, oh, if I've ripped anybody off for their money, I'll give back, what, four times, I think he said. And I'll give my money to the poor, half of what I own to the poor. These people understood that this incarnate baby, who was then a man before them, he had come to bring them much grace. And the list is long, who could give testify to the grace that God was bringing us, not just like Mary's sister, Martha's sister Mary, described as a sinner. She understood the grace of God. And there are others. Jesus says, I tell you, her many sins are forgiven. Do you have the courage and do you have the faith to believe that your sins are forgiven in this child? If you're still hiding in the darkness, we need to come out and embrace His forgiveness as we forsake the dark and follow the light into His grace. You know, there was a bus driver, Lily Bartrip. Do you remember her? Yeah. She was that good bus driver. They were going to give awards. It was in, I think it was Texas. And so they're giving a Houston school district handing out safe driving awards. And she's about to receive it. She's about to be honored because she had at least a year, a long time, without any accidents, driving people around in her bus. And so her colleagues, they have so much confidence in her that they all load in the bus, and Lily's driving, and they're going to go get her award. Funny thing happened on the way to the award ceremony. She cuts the curb too quickly. And the bus tips over. Lily and 16 of her colleagues end up in the hospital on the way to the award ceremony and for some minor emergency treatment. Did Lily, accident-free for at least a year, did she get her award anyway? No. No award. You can count that she didn't get it. You know how those award committees work. Rarely will they operate on the principle of grace. You ever hear of an athlete getting an award because he was so good at losing? Because he was, you know, he did such a terrible performance? You know, that's not how the world works, but that's how God works. When this word that God, since all eternity, has been wanting to tell us, and He speaks to the child and He says, I'm coming to give you, as a look at your life, and you might think you deserve an award, but you know, we've tipped over so many buses. He looks at us and He says, I don't care. I operate off the principle of grace. He comes to us full of grace. Do you have the courage to believe it, to embrace it afresh this season? And where does the grace lead us? Where does grace lead us? The light exposes us. I hope we will come out of the darkness, leads us to the grace, undeserved favor in this child. And that will lead us to life everlasting. Do you have the courage and the faith to believe that you're on the road to life everlasting through death, through cancer, through heart attacks, through it all, that there's life beyond life in this little child? It's interesting how John opens a book. In the beginning was the Word, the Word was with God, the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that's been made. In Him was life. How did the world get here? Through this unspoken Word. Through this eternal Word that spoke the world into existence. And now He speaks again. Now He wants to breathe into you new life, you see? Because this world's corrupted. We're all dying, aren't we? You can't get out of it. The good, the bad, the ugly. Hey, folks, we're all checking out of here. And it's been a hard year on Grace Church. In this community, we've lost a lot of loved ones, friends. We miss them. They can't be replaced. All we have is the memory. Nice memories. But we're all in a pickle, so to speak. We're stuck. That's the great thing about the season. He comes to bring us life, to adopt us into His family. A family where we can be reunited and rejoice together in life everlasting. It says in verse 11, He came to His own, but His own did not receive Him. But in the 12th verse it says, yet to all who receive Him, to them He gave the right to become the children of God. Born of God, not born out of some decision that you're able to do for yourself, your own power, your own will, but God working in your heart, bringing you to trust Jesus Christ so that you may have life in the family of God. That's what Mary's child has come to do. John says a little later in chapter 3, verse 36, He who trusts in the Son has eternal life. Whoever rejects the Son will not see life. For God's wrath remains upon him. Either you're under the wrath and curse of God, facing death without a Savior, or you're under the grace of God and have eternal life through confidence in Mary's Son. You know, Rod Martin, who's one of the directors for Answers in Genesis, apparently adopted. Listen. He says, every once in a while I'm asked, what's it like to be adopted? Some of you have been adopted. I was 2 days old, he says, Rod Martin, when my parents chose me to be their son. Being adopted is an amazing thing. I was taken from a situation that probably would not have turned out well and was given the opportunity to grow up in a loving Christian home. He says, and I became a member of a new family, a new identity, a new name, a new opportunity, and eventually a new inheritance. Folks, if I may take off this words of Rod Martin here, is you who have come to put your confidence in Mary's sons, son, you're adopted into a new family. It's what might have not turned out well for you, and definitely wouldn't have turned out well. It's a totally new situation for you now. You've become a member of a new family, God's family. You have a new identity. You're identified with Christ. You have a whole bunch of wonderful new things, a new name, Christian, new opportunity, and you have a new inheritance, life everlasting. Hey, it doesn't get any better than that. It's great if you can inherit maybe half of your dad's house or something or some money in the bank, but to inherit life eternal, He came to give us life and more abundantly. That's what He said. Well, so, in conclusion here, let me encourage you to take your fears this season, your worries, the things that are really concerning you. And, you know, it's a time for wrapping stuff up. Put it in a box, put a bow around it, and present it to Jesus. All those things that you're worried about. And I'd like to share this illustration why we can do this. I love this one story I've heard by T.H. White, who's an English storyteller. And it's a story about when he was a young boy having a birthday, and you've been born into a new family if you know Christ. So he's having this birthday, and his dad does this over-the-top thing. Can you imagine one of your dads building a huge castle for your kid, a fort. And on top of the fort, says T.H. White, my dad put two pistol barrels. Two gun barrels on the top of the fort. And the fort was so big you could crawl inside it. You could actually get inside it to celebrate the son's birthday. And apparently the father was going to salute the son for his new birthday, for his birthday. And apparently that's when the confusion came in, says T.H. White. He says, "My father made me sit in front of the fort." And that's when the confusion came in his mind. Because the son thought that his father was going to take those guns and not salute him, but to take the guns and shoot him. And believing I was going to be shot, says T.H. White, I cried. Not be confused this season. God has something to say to us, and we want to say it for a long time. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh and spoke to us. And as He speaks to us, let's not be confused, because He speaks to us as light, not to point a finger to condemn you, but to point you to His grace. Grace which will lead you who believe into everlasting life. You know, the only question that remains is, as we think about Christ, the coming of light, are you hiding in the darkness? Are you hiding in the darkness? Or are you trusting and following the light, leads you to plenty of grace in this world and to life everlasting in the world to come? Father, we bow before You. Give us the faith and the courage to come out of our darkness, to admit where we're wrong, where we're messed up in our thinking and our lifestyle and what we've done. Give us the grace and the courage to redirect our lives to Your Son, to follow His light, which leads us to grace in this life and will promise to lead us to life everlasting in the world to come. O Lord, make us a courageous people who believe strongly in what You've revealed to us in this tender child of Mary.